Well, good morning, New Life. This morning we're going to spend a few minutes looking at a parable that Jesus tells in Luke chapter 16, verses 1 through 13. So I encourage you to open up your Bibles there. Right before this passage is the parable of the prodigal son. Do you remember that story? A younger son asks for his father's money to be his own, and he takes it to a faraway country and squanders it all selfishly and foolishly to the point where he's poor, wanting to eat pig's food, but unable to. And there he realizes how foolish he's been. He runs back to his father's home, asking for forgiveness, to find his father with open arms welcoming him and loving him. Jesus had told that story in chapter 15 to the Pharisees in order to show them the lavish heart that the Father has towards repentant sinners. Now, I want you to imagine just for a minute that the prodigal son's returned home, and maybe he's sitting around a fire or something like that, talking with his older brother. And the prodigal son is saying something like, "Brother, help me. I'm not used to knowing how to use my money well. I'm used to spending it wrongly and selfishly. How am I supposed to think about my own possessions? How do I do this rightly? Teach me." Well, we read at the very beginning of chapter 16, Jesus also said to the disciples, and he tells them this story. Here's how I want you to think about the passage we're going to look at. Here is Jesus Christ, the perfect Son of the Father, who is teaching his disciples, his prodigal brothers and sisters who have come running back to the Father. And he's as if he's saying to them, let me tell you a story that I think will help you in knowing how to think about your own money. And here's what he says. He also said to the disciples, "There was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was wasting his possessions. And he called him and said to him, 'What is this that I hear about you? Turn in the account of your management, for you can no longer be manager.' And the manager said to himself, 'What shall I do, since my master is taking the management away from me? I'm not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do, so that when I'm removed from management, people may receive me into their houses.' So, summoning his master's debtors one by one, he said to the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' He said, 100 measures of oil. He said to him, 'Take your bill, sit down quickly and write 50. And then he said to another, 'How much do you owe?' He said, 100 measures of wheat. He said to him, 'Take your bill and write 80. The master commended the dishonest manager for his shrewdness. Notice here, he doesn't commend him for his dishonesty. He commends him for his shrewdness. He recognizes that the manager is finally using his money more thoughtfully than he ever has before. Because by cutting these debts, the manager was making friends for himself and setting himself up for success down the road. And then Jesus makes an observation. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light." He's saying unbelievers often understand better than believers do how to set themselves up well in this world, how to make themselves secure, how to relate to people and use your wealth well in such a way that makes that happen. And then Jesus gives the point in verse 9. "I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into the eternal dwellings." His point is, if someone for whom this life is all there is takes the time to think about their future security on earth, care about it, plan for it, make decisions now in preparation for it, then shouldn't Christians be all the more concerned to do that regarding their eternal future? We should be concerned with how we use our resources now so that we will harvest an eternal blessing. And then he goes on and finishes 10 through 13. "One who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much, and one who is dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much. If then you have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, who will entrust to you the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? A little and unrighteous wealth and another's all refer to the same thing. That is earthly possessions here on earth that God has given us for a time to steward for a short while. And then much and true riches and your own are all referring to treasures in the heavenly kingdom. Sometimes the Bible will speak of them as rewards or crowns or even inheriting the kingdom itself. He ends by saying in verse 13, "No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." Okay, so remember our setting here. We've all been welcomed back into the Father's house, freely forgiven. And now we're asking Jesus, our older brother, okay, now that I'm here, how do I use my possessions? Teach me. Let me draw out four things that Jesus does teach us from this. First is, brothers and sisters, realize that what you think of as your possessions actually belong to someone else. This is absolutely critical for us to see in order to view our possessions rightly. All our property, our money, our stocks, our furniture, whatever, not actually ours. Rather, it belongs to our master, who has put them for the time being in our charge. And just like any master, he wants us to use it well and not waste it. So if you were to look at your wealth for a minute, just entirely through that lens, that it belongs to your master who wants you to use it well, how would you evaluate how you are managing it? Second takeaway, Jesus, teach me. How do I do this? Why do I think about it? Well, secondly, brothers and sisters, remember that your earthly possessions won't last. And what will matter then is not your possessions, but whether you have the right friends to receive you into their homes. When we die and we stand before God, at that point, our money will have failed, as this passage talks about it. It means it's not going to be any good to us anymore. It's not going to be valuable. We stand before God on that day without our money. We don't take it with us. We'll be in that day like the manager out on the street. And when that happens, we are going to need somebody who's going to look on us with kindness and welcome us into their home. And part of the point that Jesus has given this parable is to say, remember that that day is coming. Plan for that day now, because it is going to come. Okay, well, how do I do that? Well, that's the third takeaway from this. Brothers and sisters, be faithful managers by spending your money in such a way that the friend you would be making with it for that day is God himself. Okay. Be faithful managers by spending your money in such a way that the friend you would be making for yourself on that day is God himself. If we are not faithful with a little here on earth, why would God give us much in heaven? Which makes you wonder, okay, well, what does being faithful look like? Well, our Lord is a generous and giving God, of course. And so it looks like being generous with your master's wealth and using it not selfishly for yourself, but using it purposefully, intentionally for his kingdom. That might look like giving to the church so that his word can continue to go forth from here, so that missionaries can continue to be supported and children and youth and adults continue to be discipled. It might look like giving to the poor and to the needy through the deacon's offering or through food pantries or through whosoever gospel mission or places like that. It might look like making a meal for someone who's sick or using your home as a place of hospitality. It could look more broadly like you using your time or your resources and talents, visiting the lonely, helping somebody with a house project who doesn't have the ability or the means to do it, who needs it done. Treat somebody who's discouraged to a meal and build them up over it. Most generally, be generous with your wealth, especially in the interests of God's kingdom, and especially for God's people. And ironically, by doing that, you're actually being shrewd, because you're actually securing your own future, because you're spending your wealth in such a way that would make God be your friend. There's a beautiful picture of this in the book of Matthew. It's Jesus talking about Judgment Day, when we all stand before God on that day. And he's speaking of Jesus opening the doors of the kingdom of heaven and welcoming in believers who have used their resources and wealth in this kind of way. Listen to what he says. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." And when they ask, "Jesus, when did we do those things for you?" he will say, "Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me." All right, fourthly, lastly here, brothers and sisters, the way that you treat your possessions, Jesus teaches us, will show who your master is. It'll show if you've really returned to the Father in your heart or if it's just words. Jesus says, you cannot serve God and money. It's impossible to do both. Some people who have professed the name of Jesus have tried. Think of Ananias and Sapphira, or Demas, or Judas. But it always fails. And if you're not using God's money how he says it should be used, Jesus is saying it means that money is your master, not God. Because either money or God at some point will need to be slighted if you're going to be serving the other one. Eventually, Christ is saying, eventually your actions are going to show where your heart is. If you're never turning to God, if we're never sacrificing our wealth, if we're never using it for his ends and not growing in that, then at some point we need to do some hard searching in our hearts. Have I ever actually really run back to the Father? Or has it just been all words? Have I ever actually been set free from bonds to sin and Satan? And I want to remind us too at this point that the story of the prodigal son is a story for every day of our lives. It's not just for the moment when we first believed in Jesus and were forgiven. We're never perfect in this life. The question is, are we continually running back to our Father in repentance day after day in word, and not just in word, but in deed and in our hearts? Well, so that's what Jesus teaches us here. Those are fourth takeaways from it. But I want to end by pointing us to Christ for a second. Don't forget the one who actually spoke this parable. The one who tells us this story is our master himself. Our Lord Jesus Christ gave up that which was his own, gave up heavenly riches and glory in order to become poor and lowly here on earth. He what was his own? Equality with God. And we read that he didn't count equality with God something to be grasped, but he humbled himself. He veiled his divine glory and became obedient by coming to earth as a suffering servant. He gave up his home. He gave up a place to lay his head. And by the end of his life, he had given up even the clothes on his back. Do you remember that Roman soldiers took away his robe so that eventually when he is hanging on the cross, he is leaving this earth having given up everything and leaving naked as the day he came. And finally, in the end, he ended up giving up his very life. And the Father sent his son to do this so that we who have squandered our wealth can come running back to the Father for mercy, be forgiven of our selfishness and our love for money, be made rich with heavenly blessings, but be made heirs to the kingdom of heaven, eternal, true riches, riches our own. The Bible describes Jesus as a friend of sinners who has gone to prepare a room for us in his Father's house. And he said, if he's gone to prepare a room, he'll come back and take us to be with him. Imagine Jesus as a friend opening up the doors of the heavenly home to welcome us in. So, fellow prodigal brothers and sisters, let us, having returned to God, let us now use our wealth in such a way so as to hear Christ say on that day, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master."